Matthew chapter 16, verse 21 this morning. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21. Matthew 16, 21 tells us this: "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day." These are big things. I read them fast, but they are big things. The disciples love Jesus. It is often in the heart of men and women to find people who are influential, fall in love with them, have fast friendships with them, and have a respect and love for them. All right, we have that. No greater do you see that than within a church. You'll have folks come by like the Clarks, and it warms my heart. Love seeing folks. Love seeing people that we know and we love come on by. We love people. So when Jesus, who was the greatest teacher of all time, who has shown them many miracles, and they followed through many terrible and both wonderful things, and when he says, "I have to go to Jerusalem," they're going to throw me through a kangaroo court. They're going to beat me. They're going to hang me on a cross, and I'm going to die. This is not a small thing for Jesus to have said to them, because up until that point, everything he has said had come true, and these are scary things. Nobody would want to have a friend or loved one, or even a stranger on the street, go through what Jesus had to go through. This manner of death was debauched. It was depraved. It was horrific in its nature. No one should have died that way. To the fact that we used to judge criminals that way just goes to show the depravity of mankind. It proves our sin nature to anyone who'd be on the fence. Those people that sit there and say, "Well, I believe that man at heart is good," has never considered crucifixion, has never considered the way we treat each other. So he comes out and says, "I will die in one of the most gruesome ways possible." It kind of puts what Peter says next into perspective. He was wrong, but we can't fully understand why he would say that until we understand how big of a statement this is. Verse 22, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter took the Lord aside. You know how many people today, they try to tell God what they're going to do? Or they'll even try to tell God what he's going to do. Right? Those name it and claim it people. Well, if I sit here in front of a list of all the things I want God to give me, and I manifest it into my life, God will be forced to give it to me. And if I sit there and I tithe $2,000, God will be forced to give me $6,000. That is baloney. That's not how God works. So when Peter took Jesus aside, "Oh Lord, no, far be it from you, this isn't going to happen to you." Peter was trying to, so when Jesus turned around and called Peter Satan, now you know why. We know why Peter said what he said, and we got to know why Jesus said what he said. No. What I'm doing for you. What I'm doing for your hope, for your salvation. I have to do these things. This is a God-ordained thing for me to do. There is no getting around it. It must be done. And for Peter to try to stand in the way would be for Peter to play the part of Satan himself. When we follow God, we must recognize and we must understand that it must be Him that sets the course and the direction. He doesn't need our input. We were traveling down to a wedding yesterday, and sometimes when you're traveling with kids, you recognize you got to feed them. If I was all by myself, I could skip lunch, man. As a matter of fact, you look at me, I could probably skip a few meals. Be perfectly fine. You got kids, you got to stop to feed them. I'm sitting there, we're traveling down, we're trying to stop at Chick-fil-A because they have them down south. We have one up here now, looking good, but we were traveling down, we were stopping at Chick-fil-A. The kids didn't know we were going to Chick-fil-A, so I passed to McDonald's, like, "Aw." Now you ask me if I have to eat out at a fast food restaurant and I can pick one chicken versus the other, one's better than the other. I was trying to take them to a better place. They were sad we weren't going to the lesser place, and that is who we are as people. Lord, I want to go here. I want this. And the Lord doesn't allow that to happen. Oh, what a cruel God. No, no. He knows where to go. He knows what we need. Peter never would have wanted to see Jesus go through this. Peter thought Jesus was being crazy, but he wasn't. He was doing exactly what he was supposed to do. And that's what you got to trust in God. You can hope in God because he always does what he's supposed to do. We can put our hope in him. A lot of people, we got hope in a lot of different things. When Danielle, before Danielle and I were married, her neighbors, not the ones next to her, right next to her, but the ones right on the other side, they hoped in Publishers Clearing House. They participated, remember Publishers Clearing House? I don't know if they're still doing it, but they would send the things over to Publishers Clearing House. Oh, they would send it, and finally one day, as I was going up the door to the Thompson House, that was knocking on the door, I looked over, and there are these people with the giant check and the balloons going over to this neighbor's house, and I go, oh, wow, they really do this. And I'm sitting there watching, and they come to the door. Ah, and they're screaming, and they're excited. That's a big old check with some big old numbers on it. And I watched the joy fall from their faces. They realized that the date was April 1st. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They got me, too. Oh, we hope in things, and sometimes what we put our hope in doesn't do what we want it to do. Doesn't pan out the way we want it to pan out. But I tell you what, everything that I have hoped for that God has promised has panned out exactly the way that it should. So when he says things like, follow me, I want to follow him. Let's look at the rest of this exchange. We always hit the brakes here, but there is the rest of the chapter. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Let me tell you about us. We devise ways. We follow things that seem right unto our own eyes. What feels good in our hearts we think is right. And we build lives and we build worldviews and we build expectations upon it. But let me tell you about us. We don't always do the good thing. We're often selfish. We're often short-sighted. We're often misinformed. We learn, we grow, and that's all a wonderful part of the process of life. But to sit there with arrogance, believing that we have a way of living that stretches beyond God, is just foolishness. We all make our mistakes. We will continue to make mistakes. And that's what the Lord is saying there. Those that seek to save their life, not their living and their breathing, but you who want to sit there and build this chaos that you think will reward you with everything you want, you'll find that you've lost it. It's why billionaires commit suicide in mansions and why people living in squalor have smiles on their faces, because you can build up as much as you think that you want and it won't give you what it promises. You can come to conclusions. You could build a support system around you. Everybody's sitting there going, yes, yes, yes. But in the end, it comes to naught. Why? It's the things of man. We're corruptible. We're corrupted. We're ignorant. We're still learning. We struggle in building things. We struggle in our expectations. But God is beyond such things. And he has laid out for us a way of living. He has laid out for us a worldview. He has laid out for us a plan that we can follow and we can trust. And sure, while those roads, they don't always go where we want them to go. Hey, Lord, I think it'd be much better if we came down around here. And he continues on in the other direction, opening possibilities for us to do other things, showing us this, showing us that. Oh my, we must follow after him. You got to consider the disciples and the way that they followed him. Sometimes following Christ led to great many miracles being performed. Sometimes following after Christ led to rocky ships and angry people. Following Christ had its ups and downs, but they always went exactly where they needed to be. When you follow Christ, you will have to leave behind the ideas, the perceptions, and even some of the carnal wants that you have. And that's good. Oh, but it'll be so disappointing if I lay that aside. It's not important. I've met many a person, many a young person, who daydreamed about a future. I remember when I was, I was in the 11th grade. I had life all figured out. Any of you, when you were in high school, you had life all figured out? You knew exactly how it was going to be? It didn't go that way, did it? And of course it didn't. And many of you, you planned your whole life, man, when I retire, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, we're going to do that. Now, many of you retired, is it going exactly the way that you planned for it to go? Man, it's almost like we're not future tellers. It's almost like we don't have a permanent ability to change what's going on in our lives. But God does. And He's good to us. And He loves us. We must follow after the Lord, taking up our cross and following Him. And we ought to want to go. When we look around, Lord, I don't want to handle disappointment the way I want to handle disappointment. I want to see things from your perspective. I don't want to handle my problems the way I want to handle my problems. I want to be shown something different. I want to be shown something new. I want to see things from your eyes. Because I get so fed up sometimes and how my body naturally wants to solve problems. I get so fed up from having to deal with my own disappointment in myself. I want to see what God can do with it. I want to see what He's got to say. I want to learn more. I want to be better. Oh, shouldn't we all want to be better? But if we want to be better, we must change. Not as the world changes, going from shifting sand to shifting sand, but I want to stand more firmly upon the rock. I want to stand upon Him. I don't want my wisdom. I want His wisdom. I don't want my guesses at what could happen. I want His. If I must follow Him, please let me follow You. Let me follow You out of my sin. Take me to places where I don't have temptations anymore. Take me to places that when temptations do come, Your strength is there. Your enablement is there. I want to be able to resist the devil. I want to be able to resist the flesh. I want to see this stuff coming a mile ahead. Lord, take me to where I can do that. And He will. Through the preaching, the teaching, the reading and studying of His Word, we will learn what sin is. We will know how to resist it by getting down on our knees and asking God for strength and battling against our sin and temptation. We will find it. And if anybody needs wisdom, as the Scripture says, we need only ask. Take me to that place, Lord, where I am far from my sin. You ever go back to a place you used to get in trouble when you were a kid? Oh, I remember back when we used to race around this area over here. I remember when we'd go back behind the bleachers and we'd this or that. You look back at that and I am so glad I'm not doing that now. I heard somebody just recently talk about the amount of alcohol they could drink as though it was proud. They said, well, I can't do that now. You know, you need to be glad you can't do that now. I've got some relatives that can do that at their age and they shouldn't. It's a sin and it's deadly. We all want to be in a place where we look back and we say, thank the Lord, I don't do that anymore because I never would have been able to quit. I never would have found a support group. I never would have found a family member that would have helped me get over that the way the Lord did. I like that song George Jones sings, I don't live here anymore. I don't drink the way I used to drink. I don't act the way I used to act. Lord, take me to that place where the things that move me, the things that hurt me today, can't reach me. I'll follow You, Lord. Just take me out of here. I don't want to do it anymore. I'll follow You beyond my sin. And Lord, take me out of my trouble. Take me out of my trouble. We all go through troubles. Some of you going through them right now. You got this concern, that bill's due. This illness is there. You've got this thing going on in your family. We've all got them. Lord, follow me to be a help in these situations. Lord, help me follow You so I can get out of these situations. I mixed that up. Don't come at me later. I follow the Lord. Lord, let me follow You beyond this place. Let me follow You to where I gather wisdom and I can be a help to people. Lord, help me to learn how it is that I'm supposed to react when this happens. Lord, guide my steps. Help me to be in the right place at the right time. Help me to find the right doctor. Help me to find the right words. Help me to submit to You and everything You've got to say so I don't make this thing bigger. How many of us, we make our troubles bigger by sin? I've seen that so often. Well, my problem is so-and-so came over and they did this. Okay, so what did you do? I slapped him. Now that's sin, right? Did it make it better or worse? Well, I felt better, but did it make the problem worse? Yes, it did. They got up and they said this about me. So what did you do? I got up and I said that about them. Was that a sinful thing to do? Yeah, but I couldn't help it. Don't you just hate it when you accidentally become a puppet and you're saying stuff that you don't intend to say? Oh, hey, that doesn't happen, does it? Everything that comes out of here, that's our decision, isn't it? And I'm going to tell you, if there's a one that's talking about me, that's me. Man, I'll come out and I'll say things out of here, and I know I can't take it back. I'll get mean sometimes. I'll get rough sometimes. And I sit there and the problem gets worse, and who do I have to blame but myself? Does the Bible not say a soft answer turneth away wrath? And yet we're scarce to do that sometimes. Well, don't you understand? I had to be mean. They were mean to me first. They cut me off. I had every right on earth to sit there and run ahead of them and cut them off. Well, that's not the way the Lord commands us to do things. The way I follow Him is He leads me to places of mercy. He leads me to places of grace. He instructs me to forgive others. He even says, I will not obtain forgiveness unless I forgive others. That's the world that the Lord leads me to, and I want to be there. I want to be in a place where I'm not stirring up more trouble with my trouble that's there already. I don't want to make an illness worse. I don't want to make a problem in my life worse because of my sin. I want to submit to God so well that it makes things go as smoothly as possible. God's going to do what He's going to do, but He better not find me rebellious in the process. We sit there and we pray for the Lord to put out the fire we're adding gasoline to when we sin in our circumstances. Follow the Lord instead. Chase after Him. Follow Him. Lord, what would You have me to do? So beyond my sin, beyond my trouble. And I tell you what, when the Lord leads us far away from our sin, when the Lord leads us far away from the effect of our troubles in our lives, when the Lord leads us to these wonderful places where we're seeing miracles and we're seeing a better way of living, better decision making based on Scripture, when we get to that place, we ought to pray that we never end up going back. Help me to never go back. I've been here before. It was awful. I never want to go back to where my sin has such a hard sway over me. When the Lord brings victory in your life over certain things, never surrender that victory. Every time that old enemy comes around, you rely on the Lord, you follow the Lord, and He won't get to you. We make sure we don't fall into those old sins. Oh, let us please never go back to the places He led us from. Well, I used to do this, but then you know, the pastor showed me this in Scripture, or I was reading this and the Lord revealed that to me, or the Holy Spirit convicted me of that. I stopped doing it, and all of a sudden my marriage got better, my finances got better. All this got better when I stopped causing the troubles and I started obeying the Lord. Everything got better. We ought to beg to the Lord every night, Lord, please, do not let me go back. Because sure as I still have a sinful heart, I could go back. And not just that, but even worse, we could find new sins, other things to fall into. We are that creature. I hate it when people look at a sin and say, I would never do that. Oh, yes, you would. Given the proper circumstances and in the proper light, you would do anything anybody else would do. We're all cut from the same cloth, ain't none of us fancy. We would all fall for the same sins. Were it not for the grace of God, let us follow Him. Let us obey Him. Not only would we want to be led away from where we are, but Lord, please take us to places and things we have never seen before. I tell you what, I like a good vacation. I like going to go seeing places I haven't been to before. I like seeing the sights. I like looking at stuff, when my wife and I used to go down, we'd go hiking, we'd go take trails we'd never seen before to see waterfalls and things like that. I love seeing new things. Not that I've ever got a problem with the same old stuff. The same old stuff is always a blessing, isn't it? Hey, it's still there. Hey, it's still awesome. Hey, I love it absolutely. But I love seeing new things. When you follow the Lord, you're going to see some things. You're going to see some exciting things. Many of us, we sat there, well, I've never been in the room when the Lord saved a soul before. That was pretty neat. Oh, Lord, please put me in a room where someone's being saved. Put me in the room with one of Your elect. I'd even like to be the one to give him the gospel, if that's not too much, just to be able to sit there and proclaim the truth of God, to see the Holy Spirit work, and to see a heart changed in his name. I want to see that. Show me wonderful things. You know what? We sat there for years wondering if this situation was ever going to get right. And I tell you what, here it is. It's happened. I never thought I'd live to see the day Lord made that right. Well, first of all, how short-sighted of you. Don't put God in a box. Number two, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? I thought I'd die before I see something like that. You know, so often we say things. Mark Clark Jr. wrote a book, and we're going a Bible study thing. I haven't gone through it yet. But how many times have we sat there and we've bemoaned, we need more Baptist writers? Have we not? So where are we? We've got people with the knowledge, with the ability, with the understanding. Where are the good Baptist books? I got enough Presbyterians on the shelf. I got enough Pentecostals on the shelf. Where are the Baptists? Oh, I tell you what, you go into a church and it's so quiet during the song leading, so quiet during the singing time, it's a wonder. I even got this. Somebody called me, was it probably the day before yesterday, asking to rent out our church for a thing. And of course, we don't do that. And I kindly let them know we don't do that. Well, it used to be the churches around would just do that for you. Well, why don't you come here and be a member of the church? You don't tithe. You don't attend. You don't do nothing. But it's the church's responsibility to make sure you can throw a party. That ain't appropriate. That ain't right. We want to see things. But if we want to see God do wonderful things, number one, we've got to be right with God. Number two, we've got to be working for the Lord. I want to see wonderful things. I want to see souls saved. But if people stop giving the gospel, you can't sit there and cry that God ain't saving people. You know, we've had recently men come forward and surrender to preach. And there's a lot of people that said, wow, I thought that was done with. Well, why? Why would we think God is done? Now, you go ahead and, for those of you that can reach, go ahead and put your foot on the ground. You feel that? The rapture ain't taking place yet. God's still working. Okay? As long as that foot can reach the ground, we still have work to do. And God is still working. If we want to see things we've never seen before, we want to see rare things, we want to see beautiful things, we must submit to Him and do the work that a child of God should be doing. And sometimes that takes us asking God, Lord, take me to places, show me things that are beyond my limits. That are beyond my limits. How many of a Christian sits there and says, Lord, I would serve you in this way, I would serve you in that way, but I'm just not able. Let me tell you a secret about anybody who's ever served the Lord. Nobody ever feels like they should be doing it. And the guys that think that they should be doing it, they're too full of themselves for Christ to be in the process. Nobody thinks they're worthy. Nobody thinks they're able. Look at Moses. What was Moses' complaint? What about the prophets of old? They would sit there and say, "Oh no, I don't know if I can." God doesn't find the perfect servant and save them. He saves people like you and me, and He enables us. The thing is that we're too hesitant, we're too fearful, we're too in love with where we are to ever take that foot and put it forward. And say, all right, Lord, this is what you're asking me to do. This is what I'll do. And on the other side of those steps is a world you didn't believe was possible. On the other side of those steps is everything you thought would never happen. God doesn't make false promises. God doesn't speak in maybes. When I obey Him, I'm going to see Him move. I'm going to see Him work. Now again, not in the way always that I want Him to, but there will be a fair number of times where you'll see Him move in the way you want Him to. There'll be ways that He'll surprise you. I didn't even know that was possible. Oh Lord, take me to a place where I didn't even know it was possible. I think of a young girl She was in my Sunday school class. She was having absence seizures. And she would just sit there and just in the middle of class, stare off into space. And she was a good kid, good student. It wasn't what she would normally do. The teacher went over to try to wake her up and shake her awake, and she wouldn't move. Took her to the doctor. They diagnosed her with these absence seizures. Found out she had a tumor on her brain. They said that we could do surgery. We don't know what will happen. Hey, we think we can get it. We're not entirely sure. Yesterday, she took two of her children to the zoo. We went from a place where, well, we'll see what the Lord does, to now I can look back and say, well, I see what the Lord has done. We need to rely on God to do things we can't predict. For a window of time, everybody who loved this child was wrapped around that one moment. God was planning for several more. Did things go the way they wanted them to? No. Did things go comfortable? No. Did we get to see the Lord doing something? Yes. How many times as of late have we prayed for a cancer to be gone, for a person to find peace, mercy, and grace? How many times have we prayed that something not be true in a doctor's report, and it turned out the person ended up fine? They got exactly what God gave them. It was wonderful. We've seen answered prayer in this church. So you better not balk when we get into those pickles again. When we, like Peter, go, not so, Lord. Not so. Let us, instead of going into fear and going back to the places we were, relish with anticipation the things which are to come. Lord, take me beyond my own limits. Teach me. Better me. Strengthen me. But you cannot be strengthened without fire. We must be purified. We must go through processes. We must learn. We must be shaken. And sometimes we got to be hit with that forging hammer just to be knocked back into the right spot. If we want to go to places and experience God's power and be useful in His service, there must be some rough edges that are sanded off. There must be some striking of the hammer. There must be some purification of fire. There will be hard times. But it is worth it to go to new places. It is worth it to see what will happen. Take me beyond my limits. Take me beyond my expectations. Don't you love it when God does something in a situation that is far beyond what you expected? I love that. I love going to Bible conferences and, all right, I'm going to go. I'm going to hear some preaching. This is what's going to happen. And you go to a Bible conference and you come out with a revival. I don't know the difference between the names, but I tell you what, where the Word of God is preached, revival can take place. You know, I was thinking about your guys' last April. You know, we're dwindling down to the last few, and I'm like, all right, this is wonderful. These are the notes I need to go take place in my life, and this is some great preachers and really enjoyed it. We got down to the end. The young man comes forward, surrenders to preach. That's a different kind of fire. I don't know about you, but I wasn't expecting to see anybody called to preach. Aren't you glad that God doesn't always give us our expectations? That God goes beyond and does different things? And shame on us for thinking that God only ever works the way that we can imagine Him to do so. It is a wonder. You sit there and all of a sudden your elation and your repentance are matched by seeing the Lord work in a grand way. And you go, oh, what a wonderful thing. We are here at this situation, which could be a very sad one. And all of a sudden the Lord saves a person. The Lord brings another person to repentance. And all of a sudden family members you ain't seen in a good long while all of a sudden start to talk to each other, having completely forgotten why they stopped talking to each other. Take me to the place, Lord, that is beyond my expectations. And knowing full well that for Him to take me there, I've got to obey Him in ways I'm not, and I've got to serve Him in ways I have not. I got to change a little bit in order to get there. But yes, Lord, take me beyond my expectations and even beyond my imagination. Show me salvations. Show me miracles. Show me young men called to Your service. Show me growth in me that I don't expect I'd ever be able to do. The sins that we never thought that we could lay aside. The service we never thought that we could do. Lord, show me the day where I could be that person. Show me the day where I'm obeying in that way. and with anything. Lord, just let me come with you. Lord, just let me come with you. There is not a single situation I have ever found myself in that the Lord did not make it better. And when I tried to act without the Lord, it didn't come back worse. In times of great elation, I must serve the Lord. I must praise the Lord for it. The longest moments of my life was when Xander was born. Well, there's two. One was the heartbeat. They put the little Doppler on her tummy. I don't know if it's called a Doppler. I'm not a scientist, and I couldn't hear the heartbeat. For the longest time, I couldn't hear it. And all of a sudden, whoosh, 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 whoosh. That was the most beautiful sound I think I'd ever heard. Then when he was born, you have to remember, we didn't know we were going to be able to have children. And all of a sudden, here he was. We prayed and we begged. And all of a sudden, there he was. And he came out of the womb. And as a dad, you're living an entire eternity waiting for that baby to cry. And it waited and he waited and he waited. The little booger messing with me before he even got eyes on me. And he cried. And I got to hear that, and it was a beautiful blessing to me. The birth of each of my kids have been a mountaintop moment in my life. Something very special to us, as it was to you when yours were born. Very special. And in that moment, what do? You praise the Lord for bringing this child to term, to bringing him into this world healthy. We praise the Lord for that. We didn't have that every time. We are blessed. So you praise the Lord. What about times in great agonizing defeat? Times where the no led to something so harsh and so painful you could scarce get out of bed. In those moments, I want the Lord to be with me there too. I must follow him then just as much as I do up on the mountaintop. I must follow him through the valleys. And I'm grateful that the God that is there on the great mountaintop experiences the births of children, the baptisms, the revivals, the excitements, the times where the Holy Spirit's working with you. In those great moments, I'm glad he is there for me to rejoice to. I am glad he is there for me to remember so that I don't get a slack hand, that I don't become too comfortable, that I don't become ungrateful about the situation. I am grateful that he is there, but I cannot forget him in the bottom moments either, when things aren't going so well, when my body's not working right, when things are a problem and you look towards the future, you don't find an answer. I need him. Not just to say that I feel his presence, and oh, what a wonder his presence can do for us, what a gift his presence is. But I need his knowledge. Lord, tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. For those of us who have turned to the scriptures with that prayer in heart, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. I promise you this, you turn to the Lord. For those that do it, we know the answer is in there. We know the answer is in there. We might not know where to look. We might not know how to get there, but aren't you glad you got godly people all around you ready to help you out? Hey, where in the Bible does it say I should do something about this? Where does it talk about this? I need his knowledge. I need his wisdom. Lord, show me how and give me an understanding so that I could take what you've shown me, take what you've taught me, and put it into place properly so that I can walk one step after the other when the path has grown dark and dim and it's filled with briars and brambles and we're going up, we're going down, and it's uncomfortable. I want to walk through the valleys with the Lord as much as I do the mountains. And we're going to have valleys. We're going to have hard times. We can draw as close to the Lord up on the mountain as we can down below. And then so often when we're down below and we've gained close to the Lord, we've repented of our sin, we've gathered his knowledge, we've applied those things into our lives, we've grown wise from it, we've become sharper from it, and everything's good. Then what? Then the Lord leads us back up the mountain again. And we get up to the top, and you know what's so easy for us to do? We forget the Lord up there. And I think particularly of Elijah, the Lord just worked a great thing there with the prophets of Baal. One woman throws a temper tantrum, and all of a sudden, there he is, ready to die. Well, Elijah, did you forget? Did you forget when he took you to the mountain, people bowed down to the Lord and the prophets of Baal were slaughtered? Did you forget while you were up there on that mountain who put you up there? Now, I don't know Elijah's heart, and I ain't the kind of man to pick at God's people like that. I ain't right enough to do it. I can't throw stones, but I'm going to tell you this. It is easy for each and every one of us to get up to where God's blessing us and we forget him again. We can't forget him. If I'm going to follow him to get up there, I'm going to follow him while I'm up there. Well, you know, it's hard to pray when the bank account is full, the cupboards are heavy, the cars are running great, and the boss is loving my work. It is easy, right, to praise and to be happy, but it's also easy to forget the God that filled the pantry, gave you the car, and puts you into the right physical ability to make the boss happy. It's easy to forget him. We whiz through those things, we get excited. No, we ought to thank the Lord. We ought to be prudent with what he has given us. We ought to be just as repentant, knowledge-seeking, and wisdom-seeking as we on the mountain as we are in the valley. Well, I know what to do. Everything's going good. You still rely on him. You stay close to him. He gave you the mountain, and he gives you the valleys. Follow him. Follow him. It would seem some soul to sit there on the path that God has given us, that straight, narrow path, for us to sit there and say, well, the road is easy. I know what to do. I can guess at this. No. Every day in the book, every service ears open, every question we have, we ask it. Every bit of advice, scriptural advice we need, we seek it and we take it. We don't be like those that will come to a person who is knowledgeable of God, their pastor, a spiritual friend. And they come to them and say, hey, what do you think I ought to do here? And that friend gives them spiritual advice. And that person goes, ah, you know what, I'm going to do something else. I hate it when people would do that. Had a lot of friends that I grew up with in high school. They'd ask questions. Hey, do you think it'd be all right if I... And then what they would say is something sinful that the Bible very clearly says don't do. And you sit there and you give them the verses and you say, no, God's not going to bless that whatsoever. And my favorite phrase that they would always come back at me with was, well, I prayed about it and I have peace. Yeah. That would be like me going to my doctor, Matt, have you been having any sugar lately? Well, doc, I prayed about having ice cream, and I had peace, so it should be okay. And then he takes the monitor, and he tests you, and it's not okay. You can't break the laws and boundaries God has made, and things be okay, whether you have peace about it or not. Right? What was it? We found... more and more people, they're having trouble over there in Yellowstone. It started off as just a couple funny stories, but it's become more and more of a problem. People getting out of their car and going over and getting real close to bison. And there was another person who caught a horn in his arm just recently for getting too close to it. They had a child, probably Billy's size or something like that with them. Just a child right there next to this bison. My family grew up with bison. I wouldn't go near the things. Delicious animals. Not friendly, right? They had peace. They had peace approaching the danger. They had peace bringing the child to the danger. They had peace all along. So what does that tell you about peace? Peace relies on our perceptions. Peace relies on our understanding. And if your understanding is wrong, you might have peace for no good reason. Now, the kind of peace that God gives us is good peace. All right, this is what the Lord says to do. I'm doing it. That's a good kind of peace. That's the kind of peace that ain't lying to you. That's the kind of peace that'll pass all understanding. Well, how can you have peace? You're in the valley. I have a peace because God was good up there. He's still good down here. Right? I'm not out there chasing after wild animals that want to hurt me. I'm not chasing sin that would make a mockery of me, that would hurt me, that would distract me. I'm over here following him. And if he brought me in here, he's going to bring me back out. And I don't know what story he's writing. I don't know where we're going. But I do know I can trust in him. And when I'm following him, I need not worry about the details. He even told his disciples, don't take extra clothes. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. And that must be the heart that we have. He'll take care of us. But my friends, that doesn't happen if we're not following him. And following him means we are obeying him. We are serving him. We must do those things. We'll want to stand in the valleys with him. We'll want to go through the mountains with him. And all in the same, I want to see the journey through God's eyes. You see things through my eyes, and it'll become, that's very scary. Well, I don't know what that's going to be. Our eyes, they have limits. Our ability to see what's going to happen tomorrow has its limits. It's a joke and a mockery. I used to have a coworker. She would go and have these little cards, these tarot cards, flipped over and read for her. And I thought, that what a silly thing. And of course, it was all vagueness. Tomorrow, you will meet a wonderful person who will bring you great frustration. Well, we were working in the apartment industry. Of course, you're going to meet somebody tomorrow that's going to bring you frustration. So someone's going to put their wig in a garbage disposal, and it's going to ruin your day. I'm just saying. You're going to meet somebody upset about something. But yes, you would sit there and see, aha, you see. That's cute. But the things that my God promises me of tomorrow, they come. If I sin in this way, it will bring this consternation, it will bring this trouble, it will bring his punishment. And I can see that and I can say, there it is. If you do this, I will do this. And you go out and you live that way and you serve him and you see him bless and you see him work. And it is a wonderful thing. God does not speak in maybes. He does not give lighthearted promises. So that way I know that when I close my eyes for the final time, I know what I'm going to see on the other side. I got to see things his way. It'll bring you calm. It'll bring you peace, right? Oh, well, do you see? Do you see how bad the government's getting? Do you see these people up there? Listen, we've all seen them, right? It breaks my heart when you see people lose their minds, almost losing their peace over the people we've got in the White House. Now, I'm as political as they come. I think you ought to vote proper. I stand in those things. But if you think bringing Donald Trump back in is going to save this country, I got some bad news. Right? Because there's going to come a time where we look back and we see nothing but his faults. Oh, we need to get Biden out of there. All right, let's take Biden out of there. All right. Who else are we going to put in there? There ain't nobody fit to run this country. I'm just going to tell you. That's not the king or prince I'm looking to come. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. Every one of them, as long as they've got a pocketbook, they're going to be maneuverable. Every one of them. I don't care what color their tie is during the debates. I promise you, they are corruptible. Don't lose it over that. I'm following the Lord. Well, they say that this is legal now, so are you going to start doing it? It's never been legal with my Lord. I'm going to stay with it. Well, you know, the society has changed in our definition of these things. Are you going to change along with us? My God hasn't changed course, so I'm going to stay on it. Oh, you got to catch up with the times. There was a church recently. They came out of a church that we would have fellowshipped with. They're down there in Lincoln Park. They recently went more ecumenical, and they dropped the name Baptist from the name. And again, I always appreciate a counterfeit church dropping the name Baptist. It keeps our name good. But at the same time, well, we got to keep up. We got to keep up with what other people are doing. No, we're not even supposed to be on the same path. How am I supposed to know I'm supposed to keep up with them? That's not where I'm supposed to go. And what's more is the Bible tells us that if we want the prize, we got to run all. We got to put the effort in. This Christian walk is not a lazy Sunday walk about the yard. It is a race. It is a run. Sweat on our faces and pain. We need to be going full on to this thing. We need to know. A couple years ago, back when I was running more often, I ran that half marathon. And when I say ran, I mean struggled. To the point to where almost everybody else was done. And they were taking the signs up. Now, if you want to know how embarrassing that is as embarrassing as it gets. When there's a guy following after you with an ATV, making sure you don't die, and he's collecting the signage behind you, right? It's very demeaning. What Christians are doing today, and I use that word Christian so very loosely, is they're moving the signs. And no, that doctrine is problematic. We can't pack the pews with this doctrine. We got to remove it. And there's slow-running Christians going, oh, yeah, maybe that should be up. We need to run all. Following the Lord so closely that we know He's not moving. That we know He's not going to the left or to the right. He is steadfast in what He is doing. That is the way we must be. So close to the Father. So close to the Savior. Following in the Word. What we should be doing. Not being tempted to go off this way or going that way, but following Him so that we can see the race through His eyes, see this life through His eyes. It'll be hard for the world to get at us. It'll be hard for our hearts to fail us. It'll be hard for temptation to steal us away. We must follow close. And what a wonderful life it leads to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Your ways are best. And we're thankful that You share them with us. Lord, that You taught them. Lord, that You preserve them in Your Word. And the Lord, You made it accessible to us. We're blessed here in the country and that Your Word is not against the law. Father, I pray that we cling to it, memorize it, and Lord, obey it. Following You is not some hyper-spiritual metaphor. It is a literal truth. You've given us direction in Your Word. We are to follow it. Help us, Lord, to not be found slack in our race, but, Lord, to run well. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.